You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Now, when you consider Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, there are a number of truths in the text. But there are primarily three truths this morning that I want to teach about concerning these verses. Before I deal with these three truths, it's important that we be on the same page about what truth is. We need to be on the same page and understand what the Bible teaches, what truth is. We live in a day and time now where many young people do not have a good understanding of what the truth is. So let's look and see what the Bible says. Let's start in the book of John. John chapter number 17. John 17, and notice verse number 17. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Then he defines truth. Your word is truth. First definition of truth is God's word. When we talk about the truth, we're talking about the scripture. God's word is the truth. Now, you have some narrow-minded grown folk and young folk say, well, man wrote the Bible. Come on now, stupid. Man writes a number of things. But the Bible says God used holy men of God that were moved or inspired by the Holy Spirit on what should be written. And so when we consider truth, we must consider the word of God. So when you hear people say, live by your truth, don't do that. Live by his truth. Live by the word of God. Why should I live by the word of God? Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. He expects us, as we're getting ready to see in a moment, to live by truth. Second definition of truth is found in the book of Psalm. God expects us not to just know the truth, but to walk in it. He expects us to walk in the truth. Psalm 86 and 11. Teach me, David said, your way, O Lord. And notice, I will walk, help me out, in, it's in English. Let's try it again. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in, help me. There you go. I'm going to walk, Lord, in your truth if you just teach me. If you just break it down for me, Lord, I'm going to choose to walk in your truth. Not going to walk in what a rapper is saying. I'm going to live by your truth. Not going to walk by what they tweeting and putting on social media. No, I'm going to live by your truth. Walk in the truth. It's a choice. You have to choose every day who you're going to live for. I'm going to live according to God's word. It don't matter what the team doing, I'm going to live by God's word. It don't matter what Drake, Kendrick, and the rest of them are doing, I'm going to walk according to his truth. And when you choose to do that, you'll find out our next verse. Notice John 8. Y'all with me? Truth is the word. God expects us to walk in the truth. But notice, if you will, John 8 and 32. Truth reads. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. The truth will make you free. So when I choose to walk in the word as a young man, or you as a young woman, God is going to allow us to experience being free, or salvation. As long as I walk in God's word, I'm going to experience salvation. Salvation, number one, has to do with God protecting me. If I just stay in God's will, God gonna protect me. It's folk that don't like me. It's demons that don't like me. But that don't matter. As long as I walk in truth, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. He gonna make sure me and others are divinely protected. But salvation not only has to do with protection, it has to do with being delivered. Yeah, it has to do with being delivered. Sometimes I make the wrong choices. Sometimes I do what I have no business doing. But if I take heed to God's word, he'll clean me up. He'll deliver me. And that's some good news for somebody in here. Because from time to time, you make bad decisions. But the good news is God can clean you up if you walk in his word. If you go ahead and make up in your mind, I'm going to get myself together, God will sanctify you and deliver you. You don't have to be in a life of using drugs, because God can deliver you. You don't have to be a hoe all your life. God can deliver you. Tell somebody, truth will deliver you. Yeah, I'm looking good this morning for 49, but if you'd have found me back when I was 19, you would have seen me all messed up. Yeah, I was all messed up and on my way to hell, but then I heard the truth one day from some young men, and I took heed. And you know what that truth did? It cleaned me up. Man, it cleaned my mind, it cleaned my mouth, and it cleaned my heart. But then it started working on every aspect of my life. Didn't have a car, now I got 5 cars. Didn't have no money, now I got a little bankroll. Look at somebody and say, he will deliver you. Y'all sitting there like you don't believe me. You're not guaranteed to get delivered with an education. But if you get in truth, there is a guaranteed reward. God will deliver you. The final thing, young folk, that salvation has to do with is prosperity. Prosperity. God will cause you to be successful in every aspect of your life. That's why the truth is so important. You choose to walk in it, then God will begin to prosper you. I said you choose to walk in the word, and God will begin to do what? Prosper you. Every aspect of your life. And so the truth is something that you should desire. One writer said you should desire the truth. You should pursue the truth. You should bind it around your neck. You shouldn't fool with folk that don't want to be in truth, because truth ain't going to do nothing but elevate you. Truth ain't going to do nothing but make you better. Now, let me tell you something about the truth. When it comes, it will make you better, but it will step on your toes. The truth will get in your face and show you your wrongs or your error, but the truth was sent to help improve our lives. Tell somebody, the truth hurts, but it does help. Some of y'all don't even want to get with me. Say somebody else, say, the truth hurts, but it does help. Yeah, the truth hurts, but it does help. So let's make sure we're on the same page. What is the truth based upon these three definitions? First of all, the truth is God's what?
Word.
His word. Then you have to make a choice every day that you're going to walk in the what? That you're going to walk in the truth. And once you walk in the truth, The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth gonna make us what? Free. There you go. So we on the same page now. We just gotta stay in this vein. So now we understand what the truth is and how the truth can affect our lives. Now, let's look at our text this morning. Our text has three primary people in it. First of all, you have Jesus, okay? The first person mentioned in our three verses is who? It's Jesus. Now, Jesus, he is the truth. Many of us learned when we were children, Jesus said, according to Matthew 14, 16, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So Jesus is the truth. He's the will of God. He's the Son of God. He's the one that can change our lives for the better. Figuratively, young folk, Jesus in the text represents the pastor. He represents the man of God. So Jesus is the truth, and he represents God's prophet or the pastor. Y'all with me? The second group in the text the Bible mentions are his disciples. Jesus and then his disciples. Disciples are people that follow the truth. People that have made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. So now they're following Jesus or the truth, and they're learning. They're following and they're learning. And that's what we do, because figuratively, the disciples represent a congregation or a church. That's what a church or a congregation should do. We should come to God's house, and we hear the truth. Y'all still with me? The third person mentioned in the text is a man by the name of Peter. Peter was one of the leaders of the disciples. So figuratively, Peter represents leaders in the church. We can go so far not just to say leaders, even when it comes to young people. You have some young people, young adults. You have leadership traits and qualities. You're not the average young person. It's something about you that draws other young people to you. You have influence. People listen to you. People watch you. A leader is an example, whether they are a good example or a bad example. Just like in this congregation, we got young men and young women that have leadership qualities, just like Peter. Now, one thing that sets Peter, or one trait that Peter has that makes him different, is his name. Peter's name means a piece of stone or a piece of rock. A piece of stone or a piece of rock. Peter, when he became a leader, the Lord recognized that Peter was the type of man that received revelation from God. Peter could hear a word, and he could hear the word, but in the word that he heard, he was able to receive what God was revealing through that particular message. Are y'all still with me? Peter was able to the point to understand the will of God for his life after he heard a message. So one day what happened was Jesus was with his disciples, his church. And he just asked him, he said, "Yay, who do men say that I am?" He was just asking his disciples, "I want to know, who do folk say I am?" And so they began to talk. Some say you Elijah. Some say you Jonah. Some say you this. But then Peter said, hey, but you are the Christ, the Son of God. You're the anointed one. Jesus looked at Peter and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You are no longer Simon Barjona or Simon Peter. Now you're Peter. And on this rock, on this revelation, Peter, I'm going to build my church. Peter, if you just keep doing what you're doing, hearing the word, receiving the revelation, I'm going to build on you. I'm going to cause you to be not only used by me, but you're going to help other people. See, that's what happens, young people. When we come to church and really hear what God is being said, it helps us, but then we can turn around and help somebody else. So Peter now, he in leadership mode. So you got these three groups of people, Jesus, the disciples, and Peter. Now don't play with me. How many are understanding by show of hands? So here we go in our verse, the three truths that I want us to get. So what happened was Jesus, the Bible says, begins to show his disciples things that must begin to happen in his life. The first truth that I want us to understand is that the Lord reveals secrets through his shepherd. The Lord reveals secrets through his shepherds, through his pastors. Remember, Jesus sitting around telling his disciples, hey, y'all, look, in a short time, let me show you what's going to happen to me. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. He's revealing secrets to them. He's telling them what's about to happen. And this is very, very important, young people, because the Bible says God does not change. He still reveals secrets to the church. That's why it's important to make sure that you are in God's house every opportunity you have. Because what God does is he reveals secrets to young people that all young folk don't have access to. He will give secrets to young people that a teacher at your high school or college does not have access to. God always in his house, notice my notes, gives his people a glimpse of what needs to happen in your life, what is about to happen in your life, or what needs to happen or we must do. Whenever we come to God's house and we hear his word, he's going to give us a glimpse of what's about to happen in the near future or in the distant future. That's why we come to God's house, young folk, because the Lord is constantly revealing secrets through his prophets. That means you don't have to do no horoscope. You don't have to identify as a Gemini, a Pisces, a Taurus, or none of that, because that's idol worship. You have a God that will give you a true glimpse of things that you don't know and things you don't see. You don't have to open up no fortune cookie to read no fortune. No, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to flip no cards or no have your palm read. All you need to do is come to God's house, because there's a true and living God that will reveal secrets concerning you. He'll reveal it. You got problems in your life, you come to God's house and he's going to reveal a secret on how to solve that problem. You got some bad habits that you can't quit on your own, you come to God's house and he's going to reveal some secrets on how you can be delivered. You got goals, you got dreams, you got purpose, and you're wondering how is it going to unfold. You just come to God's house and you get the steps that you need. See, the steps of a righteous man are ordered. God will give you the steps you need for high school, after high school, college, and so forth. You just got to make sure you're in the house to receive what God is revealing. Now, this is what be jacked up from a pastoral standpoint. When God is releasing secrets, but you got some young folk that don't really want it. They're not hungering and thirsting for it. You got to come in here wanting what God has for you. You got to wake up on a Sunday or on a Tuesday saying, I know God got something for me, and I'm making sure I go in God's house and I get everything that he has for me. Lord, I'm a cup. I want you to fill my cup and let it run over. If you got something for me when the praise team up, I want it. If you got something while they praying, guess what? I want it. And sure enough, when the preacher come up, I know you're going to have something for me then, and I want it. God is constantly revealing secrets in his house. Let me back it up. Y'all still with me? Here's a verse to back up what I've been teaching, Amos 3 and 7. Surely the Lord God does, what's that next word? Y'all didn't say that right. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Remember in Matthew 16, 21, Jesus shows or reveals. This is what's getting ready to happen. Now, let me deal with that, because sometimes when God reveals things, young people, about your life, it may involve you suffering. It may involve some death. And it may involve some raising up. Whenever God reveals something, sometimes what he reveals may involve some suffering. See, if anybody gonna follow Christ, you're going to have to suffer. When God reveals some things, it's going to be some things you're going to have to maybe give up. And it may hurt for a little while, but that's part of suffering. Suffering hurts. Man, when you're trying to get cut and big like me, and you, it really wasn't a joke. But when you're trying to get cut and look as good as I am at 49, and you go into the weight room and you're trying to lose that weight and cut yourself up, it's going to hurt. It's going to come with some pain and with some suffering. The same way it is as a Christian. When you really want the will of God to happen in your life, you're going to suffer. You may be used to doing some things, but it's going to come a point where the Lord say, all right, now, do you love that more than you love me? Jesus laid on his disciples one time. He said, look, if you love anybody, even yourself, more than you love me, you're not worthy of my kingdom. It'll come a time now to where he'll say, look, either the booty or me. Yeah, which one is it? Which one you gonna serve? You can't serve two masters. You can't say you holy and you out here sleeping around. Which one is it going to be? Which one is it going to be? Huh? Him? Or yourself? Because some of your folk masturbate. Which one is it going to be? Huh? Him? Or yourself? Because when you're a child of God, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am. And so you try to lay it down, but it hurts to let it go because you're used to it. You're used to it. It's a part of your appetite, but whenever you change that appetite, you're going to miss certain things, but it's for your good. But then sometimes what God reveals, it requires death. He said, man, they're going to kill me. They're going to slaughter me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Sometimes, young people, life has challenges. And the challenges are so tough, sometimes you don't even want to go through them. I really don't want to do this, but it's required of you. I really don't want to have to go through this, but God is requiring you to go through it. That's what happened to Jesus. He knew what was before him was really tough, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this just pass. Can you take this cup away from me? But then he said, you know what? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Some things in life, young folk, you don't want to go through, but the Lord has made that a part of your purpose. You got to go through it. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to break you. But remember, at the end, it's going to be a rising up or a resurrection. See, in order for life to come forth God's way, you got to die. You got to go through something. And your generation, if we be honest, just don't want to go through nothing. But God's way of being on top is experiencing what it's like to be at the bottom. Amen. Never look for quick money illegally. Okay? Never look for an easy way out. That ain't God's way. God's way is the narrow way. It's a little tough, but if you just go ahead and go through it, in the end, you're going to be in the place that God would have you to be. So again, Jesus revealing all of this stuff to his disciples. Y'all still with me? He's revealing secrets. Lord have mercy. But then Peter rejects what God is revealing, which is truth number two. Truth number two, you got a choice to reject whatever it is that God is revealing. Peter pulls the Lord aside. Hey, Lord, far be it. This ain't gonna happen. He's rejecting the word. He is basically saying that Jesus is lying. What you saying? It ain't gonna happen. Peter had got to the place to where he started talking like the devil. Lord have mercy. He was rejecting the word. Have you ever been to God's house, heard a message, and you, yeah, I hear it. That's good, but, you know, that's for you. I got my own thing. Or you come to church and you hear the word and you say, yeah, I heard it, but that, you know, I need something else. What? What God sends forth is for everybody in the house. But Peter chose to reject the word. You come to God's house, God sent the word, hey, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. But the person that hears that, they reject it. I'm good. I do it at another time. Rejecting God's word. He sent forth a word challenging you to change your lifestyle. But then a person to say, man, that's just too hard. I can't do that. Rejecting God's word. Then you got some, they just so bold, the word be coming forth to help, and they just go to sleep or play on the phone. They ain't saying nothing, but with their actions, they are, help me, rejecting God's word. Never want to be to the place to where you're rejecting God's word. And so what Jesus does, he rebukes Peter. He rebukes him. He openly corrects him and calls him Satan, calls his own leader the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You talking and acting like the devil. Anytime, young folk, you hear a word and you reject it and you speak against that word, you're talking like the devil. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, basically calling God a straight up lie. When the Bible says it's impossible for God to do what? To lie. Let me go and take a quote, a poll while y'all real quiet. Anybody in here ever rejected God's word? Not just with your actions, but even with your mouth. And spoke against that word. I hear what you're saying, but such and such and such and such. Don't do that. Don't reject whatever God is revealing. If he used the praise team to let you know that he's going to turn some things around, don't reject it. If he used the preacher to let you know about better, don't reject it. Don't reject what God reveals. Because whatever God reveals, it's going to help us. We have to do truth number three. Refuse to talk like the devil. Even when we don't fully understand everything that's going on in our life, don't talk against the word. Amen. Even when you naturally speak and don't see a way out, don't talk against the word. Refuse to talk like the devil. Don't call God no lie. Don't do that. Sometimes you have to be like this man in scripture once you hear the word. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. Help me. But one thing I'm going to refuse to do is to talk against the word. Tell somebody, you got to refuse to talk like the devil. Refuse. And I'm getting ready to close. To refuse, young people, has a number of meanings, but one in particular means to disown. When different thoughts come to your mind that are different from what God has spoken, disown it. You got to be to the point where you say, no, I ain't going to talk like that. I'm not going to think like that. You refuse to let something wicked come out of your mouth. Amen. You disown it. No, I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to say that. And sometimes you just want to say certain things, but you got to remember death and life is in the power of your tongue. You can mess your own self up. And so at the end of our verse, y'all still with me? At the end of verse 23, Jesus explains some results of why we don't need to talk like the devil. I'm going to give you these results that he says, and then we're going to be done. He says, look, Peter, you are number one, an offense to me. Whenever, young people, you hear the word and then you talk contrary to the word, that's offensive to God. That's offensive to God. When we hear the word, but then we talk against the word, that is an offense. That's disrespectful. That's displeasing. Yeah, I hear all that, what that preacher's saying, but he don't know what I'm going through. Come on now, that's disrespectful to God. That's offensive. That does not move God to help you. Amen. Faith is what moves God. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please him. So when you hear a word, but your life don't line up, naturally speaking, with what you hear that word saying, you just say, well, Lord, it's going to be that way. It's going to happen for me. It's not like that right Now, but I'm not going to curse myself. I'm not going to offend you. I'm going to make sure that whatever comes out of my mouth, it lines up with what God has been saying through his prophets. Because if we believe his prophets, young folk, the Bible says we're going to prosper. One way you know what a person believes is how they talk. So check yourself. Once you hear that word in the days to follow, you need to be talking that word and don't offend God. Lord, I heard I need to be watching how I talk. I'm going to watch how I talk. Number two, he says, not only you are an offense to me, but then he says, look, you're not mindful of the things of God. Whenever a person talks against God's word, they're not mindful of the things of God. What does this mean? It means they lack God's understanding. You can be at your lowest, and God say, I'm going to move for you. But you looking at, man, ain't no way God can move for me. You're leaning to your own understanding. And you're not mindful of the things of God. Whenever you hear God's word, don't just look at your life through your natural eyes. We have to always look at our life through the lens of the written and the revealed word. Lord have mercy. Am I making sense? Whenever you hear that word, don't just look at your life and say, well, you know, that's all what I hear. No, what you hear is what we should live by. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What we don't see is more powerful than what we do see. And so when God sends a word, you got to see it even though you can't see it. When God sends a word talking about this, that, or the other, you got to receive it and see it even though when you look at your life, you see chaos and problems. The first mistake you make is to start leaning on your own understanding. Don't do that. Don't be to the point to where you say, why keep praying? Ain't nothing happening. You lean into your own understanding. Why keep going to church? Things seem like they keep getting worse. You lean into your own understanding. You're not mindful of the things of God. Why even praise the Lord? Ain't nothing happening. You're leaning to your own understanding. Man, do you know how powerful praise is in the scripture? Praise brings opposition down. Whenever you start worshiping and praising God, you bringing God in the midst. You bringing him in the midst, and whatever is against God, it ain't gonna win. That's why it's important to make sure that we don't lean to our own understanding. When you hear a word like we're hearing today, young folk, don't just leave walking by sight. No, you walk by what you heard. Man, things are going to get better. Things going to turn around. I'm going to watch what I say. Death and life is in the power of my tongue. Now you're being mindful of the things of God. Y'all with me? And finally, he says in number three, when we talk like the devil or choose to talk like the devil, we're mindful of the things of men. This is so powerful to me. When you and I choose to talk against the word, it says that we're not spirit-led. It says that you're more conscious, young people, of the things of man's abilities instead of the things of God. It basically says you're limiting God from doing the impossible in your life. With men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But if God tells me a word or a message or gives me a word or a message and I talk against that word, I'm basically saying that ain't possible. That ain't possible. So I need to watch what I say. Watch what I say. And be mindful that God can do anything. Nothing, the Bible says, is too hard for him. I need to make sure I can control what I can control. And the primary person that I need to be controlling is myself. So when we hear a word, young folk, and that word is according to the scripture, we need to be like, well, amen. So be it in my life. In my clothes, for instance, God has been teaching us about watching how we talk. The Lord has also been teaching us through Bishop that we need to be aware of the thief. We need to be aware of the devil. So once we hear these messages, we need to talk accordingly. Carry ourselves accordingly. I don't want to be talking like the devil and he's looking for somebody to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm making his job very, very easy. So if the enemy, in fact, is looking in truth, looking for someone to mess up, I'm not going to give him no place, starting with how I talk. How many are understanding? You've got to make sure, young people, that you don't talk like the devil. Because when we talk like the devil, it's offensive to God. It shows that we're not mindful of the things of God. We're leaning to our own understanding. And it shows that we're more mindful of the things of men than the things of God. We're limiting him from doing impossibilities in our own life. How many understand the teaching on this morning? If you do, look at somebody and say, I'm going to make sure I don't finish it. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson on this morning. Lord have mercy. I'm going to make sure.